Hello, everyone, and welcome back to another episode of the Porto Podcast in English. I'm your host, Rui dos Santos, and we've got a great episode for you all. It's Friday night. It's the end of the work week. We're heading into the weekend with another dub into the season. Things are wow, right? That's the word for me for the week is wow. Given our recent performances against Benfica over the weekend, where we gave them a thrashing at the Dragão, huge statement win. And then today we defeat Portimonense. I wish we were able to get an episode out earlier, but we're here, better late than never. And it's a great episode to cover two back-to-back solid victories. And, you know, before we get into any more of it, let me introduce you all to the co-host of the show before I get carried away. Jason Regu. Jason, what's going on, man?
We're flying high, man. We're finally hitting that potential. Like, this is the flow state we should hit in January. And I know it's March and it's late, but like, I'm just happy to see it. Like, we've been praising them all year. Like, we have all these capable guys on the bench. Our team's good. Like, Sergio can get the most out of them. And we're getting aggravated game after game. And to see the way they controlled the game today after a beautiful performance versus Benfica, like, this, we're finally getting to enjoy our Porto, man. Like, it's that simple. Like, dude, just come on. They were clinical today. They controlled the game. They didn't just hold the 1-0 lead and just pray that Portimonense didn't tie the game at the end of the game. It just, today was clinical football. Against Benfica, it was just, the emotions were riding high, and you and I were speaking, we were getting nervous. We were going like, oh, dude, I know we won Benfica 5-0. We're at the Dragão. Like, it's a rivalry. We get up for that. Like, what if we just piss it all away today? And this is beautiful.
Oh, dude, it's, you know, that's the thing that I was worried about today. I was happy with the early goal. I was happy with the way that we kept attacking afterwards, because Pepe had a brilliant opportunity and he hit the crossbar with his little chip shot. But we kept going at it, especially for the first like 30, 35 minutes. And then we kind of lost steam a little bit in going into halftime. And then I was thinking, I was having like all this anxiety, like, oh no, like, we should be up 2 or 3-0 right now. And this is typical Porto. Are we really going to go into the 70th, 75th, 80th minute still with the 1-goal lead with all this pressure? And this is where we kind of collapse this season. I feel like we've coughed up quite a few late goals or second half goals where we couldn't just come back and just either win the game or just finish the job. And man, absolutely loved the energy in the second half. Two more brilliant goals. And, you know, just as you said, after the Benfica game, it feels great that the test was on again. We have to play more dominant. Yes, we beat Benfica pretty well, but let's go out and win this game convincingly. Not this 1-0 crap with a set piece goal or a penalty or whatever, and pissing all these chances away. Get the job done early on, and it was great. And I couldn't be more excited. A lot of players are really rising to the occasion, and I have to ask you before we even just jump into the Benfica game, like, what are you seeing? Like, what is the main difference from these two games compared to the rest of the season that you see in this team?
One, whatever. Yeah, I'm going to start with one. We have a solidified backline. Otavio was that missing link. We were been missing him all season. We were unsure back there. It would just be games where you'd be like, dude, the other team had two chances. How did we let up one goal? And Diego Costa would stand on his head. And then all of a sudden, he's just left all alone. And I think Otavio solidifies that with Pepe. I think they're a great pairing. Our outside backs are finally informed. João Mário looks good. He's been consistent. He's stayed healthy. Let's hope he can maintain that to the end of the season. And, man, Wendell, we've known what he's capable of. That's another guy who's just getting red cards or getting injured time after time. So for João Mário, Wendell can stay healthy. Pepe does less work with Otavio and Varela helping out the back line. Like, that back six is just locked in at the moment.
Yeah, absolutely.
Go ahead. We finally have an attacking midfielder on the pitch. Nico Gonzalez. Hats off to him, man. Because Ishtaku, don't get me wrong, I like Ishtaku. He works hard. He's a Porto guy. But man, we already have Varela, and you're just not the same class. Like, I love you, Stocky. Like, you're a club guy, but just different class. And now we have Nico Gonzalez, a lot more attacking. He's much more creative. And hats off to him for getting his first goal today, because the kid has finally got his opportunity, and he's ran with it.
100%. He definitely deserved that goal. He's been waiting for it. I thought in the Benfica game, he had such a brilliant game, and he wasn't really on the stat sheet, and he had a brilliant opportunity to get a goal. He had a diving header that I think it just went wide. That would have been such a sick goal if it went in, but in this game, I'm happy that he got his goal. And to touch up on the Otavio situation here, dude, 100%. What night and day. Night and day compared to what we were having all season long to what we're having now. In five games that Otavio has played, Porto have drawn once, won four games, and in those four games that we won, they were clean sheets. That's, you know, and it should be five straight.
Yeah.
It doesn't have to be five straight clean sheets, but in the Gil Vicente game when we drew, we should have won that game.
Yeah.
We should have done much better, and poor chances. You know, the not capitalizing has just been our issue this season. And also clumsy, dumb, fundamental errors that lead to goal. And we're not seeing that with Otavio. And I think, I don't know if you've noticed this, maybe it's just me, but I think that Pep, knowing how good Otavio is, knowing that he has a lot of speed, it's kind of giving him the luxury or the license to kind of be a little bit more aggressive, to kind of be a little bit more forward, like pushing the back line a little bit higher up. Obviously not aggressive in terms of challenges, but containing players, marking players, because he knows that the guy next to him is a wonderful defender. But also he has that speed to recover, to watch his back. Do you see that?
Oh, absolutely. It's you get to play a little more freely. Like I said, Otavio being there is saving Pepe's legs. Like, it's just, he's able to finish games. He's able to make tackles because he's just not making up for the mistakes for his counterpart.
Yeah.
It's that simple.
Yeah.
Like, yeah. Otavio is a major upgrade for the team. He's what we thought Karma would be for us. It didn't pan out, and we finally have the solution, and he's here.
Yeah, I mean, night and day. And I don't want to blame David Carmo for everything that happened, but I think it's all working out for the best. If he does end up staying at Olympiacos or whatever, that's to be determined, because I think there's an option to buy or whatever the whole situation is. But this is a huge upgrade, and it's not just over David Carmo. It's even an upgrade over Marcano. It's an upgrade over Fabio Cardoso. This is the guy. This is the guy that we talked about early in the season too. We were both interested. Like, this guy's balling out. This guy, this Otavio from Brazil, another one. It would be nice to have another Otavio from Brazil balling out, playing for Porto again. And here he is, and he's living up to the expectations, and he's just gelling. And here's another thing too that just came to my mind. Look at the difference between Sergio Conceição with Otavio than he was with David Carmo.
Oh, yeah.
Two games into the game.
Oh, yeah.
Two games in to him signing with us, he was already on the pitch. And he came from Famalicão. David Carmo came from Braga having a stellar season, fourth place team, and he was struggling to get into the starting lineup. So, it kind of raises some questions. We all like to say Sergio doesn't like to start the newer guys, but I don't know. Maybe Otavio is just that special, and David Carmo needs some time to kind of groom himself or blossom, or however you want to put it. What do you think about that?
I just maybe David Carmo wasn't Sergio Conceição's pick.
Yeah,
honestly, we don't know. It looks like there was guys picked up this season that Sergio, they were not Sergio's guys.
Yep. All right. Let's get into the Clásico. Porto 5, Benfica 0. Goals from Galeno 2. Wendell, Pepe, and Denny Namasu with the dagger, with the number 5, the high 5, in the 90th minute to just put the icing on the cake or the cherry on top. What a beautiful, beautiful game this was. I did not expect this in any way, shape, or form. You know, I predicted a draw, like I said in the last episode, but if I had to incline on who was going to win, I would have said us, because we're at home, there's a lot at stake, and I would say that Porto has a lot more to lose if they lose this game than Benfica would. And you knew the Dragão was going to be electric. You knew Porto had to come out hungry, and that's exactly what we saw. We saved the best football of the season for Benfica, and it was super, super sweet. Everything that we needed to improve on absolutely worked. We were so hungry. We were so consistent. We were so aggressive. We were intense. We trapped Benfica so many times. They couldn't even build up from the back. João Neves was like the only guy that just seemed to be doing anything for Benfica, and he left everything on the pitch for them. Everyone else, they were just completely shut down. I have to ask you this before we get more into detail into the game. Do you think this is the best coached game from Sergio Conceição?
I don't even know if it's the best coached game. The energy our guys brought, like, we just haven't seen that in ages. Like, they took that match over. Like, I guarantee Sergio's tactics were at play here, 100%. But I think we took advantage of Benfica kind of having doubts in the team. The Schmidt can't find his 11. There's just so many things going on there. And I think we tasted the blood in the water, and our guys just went for it. I don't know how Sergio riled them up, but they were up for the occasion, and they just took over this game. The players were playing with an energy that we haven't seen in a while.
Yeah, on both ends of the pitch, and it seemed like, you know, we were talking about it with Mike last week.
Yep,
and he was worried about exactly what made Porto know, like what puts fear in the opponents that Porto plays against. It's that garra, it's that energy. Porto is a blue collar team, right? They work hard. They bring a lot of intensity. The crowd gets into the game. And Mike was worried about that coming into the game, because a lot of us, we were afraid that Porto was kind of losing that identity, that intensity, that garra, that thing that just always gives that extra boost when things aren't going as planned in games. That extra boost, that garra, that intensity always would bail us out. We always mustered enough just to capitalize in the end, or muscle out a tight victory when our backs are up against the wall. And he also mentioned that Porto is an incredible team off the ball. And in this game, yeah, we were great off the ball. Benfica couldn't get anything going, nothing through the passing lanes. From the back, everything was always long. It was immediately intercepted. They were almost non-existent. Diogo Costa had one great save, and that was the only save that he had. But the most surprising, I don't want to say surprising, but the impressive thing about this, as great as they were off the ball, applying the pressure like they were up against Arsenal still had the majority of the possession in that game. Porto, every single time Porto had possession, it wasn't useless, but they dictated the tempo throughout the entire game. They were still able to create. They had the energy and the intensity to create and press at the same time.
I mean, even before the red card, Porto still had majority possession. It was slight difference. Yeah. It was 56% for Porto and 44% for Benfica. But like, even prior to that red card, we still had more possession. So like you said, they were great on both sides of the ball. This wasn't a game where we sat back and waited for the counter. We took this game over. And honestly, this 5-0 victory was kind of generous, because Porto had some golden opportunities in this game, and Trubin made some saves, and we did some poor finishing on some, but this game could have been worse.
Yeah, 2-0 going into halftime. It could have been 3, potentially 4.
Yeah.
I mean, but this is what I want to see, and it's not even just against Benfica. This is what we've been missing all season. Like, we did this against Benfica, the reigning champs. They obviously have a great team, or a very good team. Why can't we do this against Rio Ave? Why can't we do this against Gil Vicente? Why is it so difficult? That's like the biggest question mark all season long. Why are we good in the Champions League games against better teams, but like when it comes to breaking down compact sides, it just doesn't happen. That's what's been killing us all year long. And this is, and seeing a game like this, it's, you know, hopefully it's the turning point of a season to something pretty special. I think the league title is a little bit out of reach, but maybe we can get that second place spot or, you know, go far into the Champions League. I'm feeling pretty optimistic about this Arsenal game coming up.
I mean, this, what better form could we be in possibly, right? Like this is just going to help our confidence on both sides of the ball. I mean, yeah. We know what we want to do when we go there, and you know, Sergio's game planning for it. So this is just icing on the cake, these two victories. This is the kind of form you want to go into that game with, the kind of confidence you want your guys to go in with. This is complete and total belief in yourself, in the system, in the coach. Like this unifies a team. Like winning cures all. This is exactly mm-hmm. what they need before this match. If we're going to have any chance of going through and pulling the result in England, this is perfect circumstances.
Yeah, definitely. Your boy Galeno.
My boy. Star boy.
It's I forgot who it was. I think it was Jack. I think it was Jack Hacken. I think he said something about he's no longer Jason's boy. He's Jason's man. Yeah, that's your dude right there. He's exactly. No longer a boy. He is a grown ass man. Man, big boy stats in the last few games, big boy performances. How do you explain this?
Listen, he's hitting form. Sometimes it takes too long to click, and I'm going to credit this to Nico, man. I've been telling you, our guys haven't been producing because we don't have an attacking midfielder. Like your forwards produce when they have guys creating. It's like it's not a one-man show. This is a team game, and you need that creator. He just makes everyone around him better, and if someone's finding those positive passes and those passes in the final third, those opportunities are going to be there for you, but if you have to constantly create your own chances, like those windows close time and time again, and those opportunities dwindle and they're less and less, and you're tired by the time you take the chance. Like now we have that creator. It's a major difference.
Yeah. Huge, huge test. This kid is, I don't know, he's in form. He's got a rhythm going. We got a big game. I hope this thing continues. He had an excellent game against Arsenal.
Absolutely.
Excellent game against Benfica. Excellent game against Portimonense. This is not the Galeno that we've been seeing all year. Brilliant on his day, but he'll have a game where he gets a goal and an assist one game, and then the next game he has like a 5.9 rating on SofaScore, and it's like, what the hell? How does this happen? You know, you look like the reincarnation of Luis Diaz one day, and then it's like, I don't know. I don't know who he is the next, but... You made an interesting point about Nico Gonzalez, and this kid deserves a ton of praise. Got his first goal today against Portimonense. Well deserved. Do you throw the attacking midfield role at him? Is he the? Because I feel that Pepe is more that attacking role, that number 10. And do you see Nico more like what Vitinha was to this team? A guy that was super creative but played deeper and pushed forward when he had to? Or is it like see him as like a number 10?
No, I don't see Nico as a 10 for sure. Nico has defensive responsibility and he's strong. But he's not Varela, right? He's not the 6. And I don't know if you would call him an 8, right? Because he's not a Conte, right? He's not up and down the pitch motor, but he's very eloquent on the ball. He understands football, he understands positioning. So maybe you could call him an 8. It's just a different. It's more of the Spanish Portuguese style 8, and he's very good at it. But yeah, to me, Pepe, he's a madman, right? He kind of just free roams. He's a 10, right? He just has no, just free roams. But to me, Nico Gonzalez adds structure, but he has that killer instinct in the passing. To me, that final third is opening up because of Nico. So yeah, I wouldn't call him a 10, but he's definitely more. He's better at attacking than he is defending.
And speaking of Pepe, well, actually, Nico is the Portuguese league Clarence Seedorf. How about that? No?
That guy's just a brick wall, though, right? We can't make that analogy. Nico's got it. He's good.
All right.
That's a strong analogy, man.
That's my AC strong. Milan side yeah, kicking in
that's,
here.
That's yeah. kind of all right. Don't disrespect Seedorf like that yet.
No,
like,
come on. I'm saying there. Portuguese league. I'm saying know, the Portuguese league like, version of Seedorf. I'm not saying that's what he is.
I want to get you there. I can't.
You know, the all around type of player. You got defensive duties.
No, he's all around. He's all around.
Can score. You know. Yeah. Come on.
Okay, yeah, I'll give
I'm
it
not
to
disrespecting.
You for now.
I'm not disrespecting. I'm not disrespecting the world's strongest man. Absolutely
I just won't sign
not.
Off. Right? I'll agree for the time being.
Listen.
I like Nico.
So I can.
I'm just
I
glad
can
he's
say.
Playing.
You know. Listen. You know. You're like the João Mário of the BSSL. You know what I mean? You know, you get the analogy now?
Yeah,
you get the analogy?
But Seedorf's just a legend, man. It's just.
Yeah, I know. Maybe that was a little.
It was strong.
It was a bit strong.
I like it, though. You're backing your boy.
You know what? All right.
You gotta like I back Chico, you're backing Nico. I see.
All right. Where was I getting at? You know what? Actually, Chico.
My man. About time Portista's opened their damn eyes, man. He's been our best right wing for years now.
For years, dude.
We were giving him 10 minutes a game. He was our best right winger. He's only getting 10 minutes. Like, what can that player cook within 10 minutes? Send him off to Ajax. God knows what happened there. That was just blasphemy. That was blasphemous, man. He got paid. Yeah, good for him, but the club, that's the club's fault. I guarantee if we were starting the kid, he wasn't leaving anywhere. We'd pay him a little extra bucks, not even close to what Ajax wanted to pay him, and just start the damn kid. The kid just wanted to play. You could tell each and every game, he just wants to be out there. He's running both ways. He's attacking. He's taking guys one-on-one. He's crossing. He shoots the ball. He defends. He recovers the ball when he loses it. Like, what the hell else do you want in a winger? Like, I don't understand. And it's just about time this kid is playing because he's been our most consistent guy this season. Maybe not our best guy in most games, but never our worst guy. And he's just been truly consistent. Like that guy has been crucial, another crucial part.
Yep. Yeah, little Tasmanian devil, man. That little guy full of energy. Always looking to take. He's never afraid of anyone that's in front of him.
Dude, he was taking people on in Arsenal. And he was slicing and dicing. Like that's the thing,
and I think he got caught a couple of times in this game today, like probably dribbling a little too much. But the kid is not afraid.
Listen,
and with time, he's 19 years old or 20 years old.
We need dribblers in the game still, man. We cannot kill all creativity. You're gonna mess up, but I'm sorry. Yeah. Like you could still create so much with dribbling. Like we've come into such a game like where we just have to pass the ball. You can't lose the ball. Like, losing the ball is a part of the game. Like, at least when he loses the ball, he's right there to recover it. Like, I'm sick and tired of guys. Like, they get so mad. This kid, ball hog this, ball hog that. Dude, you don't have to pass the ball every time. You're a winger. Take risks in the final third. What is the problem with that?
Yep.
The risk 100%. Is worth the reward. You're in the corner of the field. There's so much space they have to cover to score a goal on the other end. You're not dribbling outside your own box.
Yeah. And he has that natural instinct where if you were playing, and it's not a knock on the opposition, but like if you were playing at Benfica or Sporting, potentially, actually Sporting presses pretty well, but Di Maria, for example, if he loses the ball, he's not going. His natural instinct is to kind of lay back, be conservative, drop back a little bit maybe. Chico just goes right after it. His natural instinct is to go straight back and win the ball in recovery.
Yep.
You know, and that's such and this is where I understand the frustration that a lot of Portistas had with Galeno this year. But you cannot forget what he does defensively. Yes, he's going to make mistakes on the attack, but defensively, he's the same exact way. He loses the ball, he goes right after it. Yep. When the team is on the counter, he drops back and tries to catch the opposition.
Listen,
these are traits that you cannot forget. Yes, we want them to score goals. We want them to create. We want them to make plays. But you can't forget about the dirty work. That's what players like Alan Varela are great at and what makes them great. Because on the stat sheet, he only has 2 goals and like 1 assist, but he does much more than that. So we can't forget about the dirty work in
the
game.
Let's not forget that a lot of Galeno's poor form was when Wendell wasn't playing. Let's just throw that out there. Like, we didn't have a solidified left back for a long time this season, and that was killing us.
Yeah. Wendell getting called up to the Brazilian national team.
Dude, congrats.
Sergio Conceição deserves a trophy for that.
Congrats. Like, you're benching your boy's eye. Dude, that's your boy you benched. You benched your boy. Like, congrats.
Oh, man. Dude, what? Look at this, man. We've seen Wendell. We've seen Manafa and Zaidu having masterclasses against Benfica. This is insane, bro. It's love our fullbacks.
Wild.
All right. Man, I don't even know what else to touch up on. Like, in this game was just so well executed. I don't even know how to describe it in how well we played. For me, this is one of the best games I've ever seen Porto play. Like, in all the years that I've watched Porto, I'm going to be 32. Been watching Porto for almost 30 years. This is one of the best, a top three game in terms of just performance. Going in, executing the strategy, the game plan, all the tactics, everything was fulfilled. It was a near perfect match for me. I don't even know how to describe it.
We haven't had one of these in years, to be honest.
And I think this team needed it.
Yeah, there's no question about it.
Needed this. And it definitely propelled us into this game against Portimonense, and happy to see Pepe getting back on the score sheet. Great to see Galeno getting another goal and assist. He's got 6 goals and 6 assists this season. Yep. You know, he's pretty much on pace to having double digits, 10 and 10. And that's pretty damn impressive. And before we get into the Twitter questions, unless there's anything else that you want to touch up on in the Benfica or the Portimonense game, Fabrizio Romano made an interesting tweet last week or 2 weeks ago after the Arsenal game, and he flirted around with the idea of Galeno being, you know, thank God Porto, or it was good business on Porto. I'm paraphrasing, that they restructured his contract and extended his release clause to 60 million euros. Is this guy telling us something?
Yeah, he's gone, dude. He is. If Porto find a way to go through in the Champions League, there is no chance of Galeno return. Zero. Because I guarantee if we go through, Galeno had a major part in that. Because he already did in the first leg, and there's no way. Like, if Porto find that way, like, Galeno's a part of that in the second leg. There's no question. Yeah. Whether it's a big goal, it's just a great performance of him taking guys on, individual performance, whatever it is, Galeno will play a role if we go through.
You think he's in touch with some teams?
I don't think he's in touch with anyone. I think he's on the radar. I think Arsenal will open their eyes last game.
Let me say this better. Yeah. Do you think Fab has gotten some news or some rumors that teams are interested in Galeno for him to say something like that? Like, oh,
he's heard
like
something.
It's good that Port.
Yeah, he's heard something. No, Galeno's gone.
If we can get 60 million for him, he has that's to keep insane.
If he keeps his current form, there's no question we'll get 60 for him. If he drops off, then that's when questions arise. If this current form continues, it's 60 mil, no doubt. No questions asked. See you later. Like, he'll be one of the first transfers out. Might even be before the season ends.
Yeah, but he'll still be with the team until the end of the season. Yeah,
absolutely. Yeah. It's just the laws.
Well, let's see how this season turns out. I hope he does well. I love when he plays great.
Yeah, he's a
joy
to watch.
Absolutely love it.
He looks like he's having fun when he plays well. It's a difference, man. It doesn't look
always
like
he's always smiling, always confident, all that stuff. That's great to see. Yeah. Always good. Yeah. I don't know, Jason. I think Pepe's got his shooting boots on. Look at this. 2 games
I know.
In a row.
Dude.
Jorge Sanchez.
We know he's a good player.
Then
I just knocked him for not having any killer instinct, and he's finally scoring some goals. Like, hey, shut me up all you want, buddy, because that's what I want to see.
Yeah, but it's like these are goals that like he always misses.
I know.
he's a wonderful player, man. Dude, I love his energy.
He almost had
but
two
he
today.
Just
that chip was almost that was almost a beautiful goal. It was so close. I was hoping he scored. That's a highlight reel right there, baby.
Yeah, it would have been. That would have, I mean, especially 8 minutes into the game, you're up 2-0.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. But given that he's been struggling, not struggling. I mean, he plays great, but he could never finish. He could just never finish the fucking ball for whatever reason.
The end product has been
he would always squander. But it's good to see he got a nice goal against Benfica, where he slotted that with so much authority and power. Thuribin had no chance, and he went the other way.
Yeah.
You know. Yeah. And then in this game, he gets another goal. I hope that confidence, the confidence builds on these guys. Galinu, even Nielsen didn't get a goal again, second game in a row that he didn't get a goal. But I think it's good to see.
He's fine as long as he's in the production and he's creating. Like,
yeah,
he's almost like he'd be a very good false nine in a big club, to be honest.
Yeah. And it's good to see that these other players really stepping up. Galinu really getting into a consistent basis of playing well. Pepe getting a couple of goals in. This is what I want to see. This is what we want to see, right?
Yeah.
This is what we've been waiting for. And Nico gets his goal. That what a great way. What a great way to win and keep this momentum going. And it's on to Arsenal. So, all right. Before we get into the Twitter questions, Jason, predictions for this week. I know it's still a few days. Maybe we'll do something more up to date prior to the game. But in case if we don't, give me your predictions against Arsenal next week.
I predict we walk away with a 1-1, and that's a victory for Porto. I think we find a way to go into the half 0-0, because, you know, if we let up that early goal, that's a 6-1 game easily. So I think we find a way. I believe we find a way 1-1. We get the result. We go into halftime 0-0. Arsenal makes some changes at half, and we hold on. We're just grasping on to dear life, and we find a way.
Yeah, I'm going to go 1-1 as well, but it's going to be an interesting twist. I think Arsenal are going to get a second half goal, and we're going to go into extra time, and then Galinu is going to score the goal, and he's just going to – I think Arsenal are going to buy Galinu because I think Martinelli sucks. And I think Galinu's better than him.
Me too.
And let's pass this on the rumors keep going.
Nah, it's not.
Yeah, guys.
It's just the truth. It is what it is.
Get this thing going. I hope Galinu has the game of his life. And then he goes to Arsenal next year and tears it up with Fabio Vieira. And then we're going to look back when they win the Premier League in 5 years. And we're going to be like, we did this. We called this. The Porto podcast in English called this. And these guys are products of Porto. That's my prediction. No, all seriousness, I think it's going to be a 1-1 game, 1-1. We're going to go into extra time, and Galinu is going to be that guy to score us, to give us a goal like Sergio Oliveira did against Juventus a few years ago. I think that's how it's going to pan out for me. All right.
I will take that.
100%. We got a few questions. And these were asked from after the Benfica game, so they're mostly Benfica related. Manuel Pinto, our friend at Eruido Terra, sadly missed this amazing game. Was shocked to see 5-0 against Benfica. I wouldn't have imagined that. The highlights don't tell me that much. What exactly do you think the main factor was for this huge win? It was some player. Was it some player? Sergio did some magic. Galinu shined a lot. What was it? What do you say, Jason?
I think this was a combination of just the stars aligning. I think Sergio came in with the right game plan. I think we had our backs against the wall. We tasted blood in the water. We smelt it, whatever you want to call it. We knew Benfica is like they're just one slip up away from being in shambles. We discussed that these next three games could have tarnished their season, and it started with that loss against Sporting, and then they come to us, our home, our energy, our backs against the wall. I think it just everything was in our favor, and then the guys just they did everything they had to do. The energy was there. They did not let Benfica breathe in that game, and just I don't know. It was just a masterclass. Like it's one of those you need to find a way to watch the replay and just realize like, hey, this game was so one sided.
Yeah. Yeah, for me, it's all the above. And I think Sergio, I think it starts with Sergio prior to the game. I think he made it clear to all the players in that locker room, if we don't get a result in front of our fans, our season's over. And I think he reminded everyone in that locker room what it means to wear that blue and white, what the identity of this team is, what it symbolizes, what the culture is, the history. Everything about this club, at least, you know, in particular during his tenure, what he demanded from the players, what kind of attitude he wants from them going into games, I think that was instilled in every single one of those players, and every single one of those players went out and did the job. I think it's an all around collective, what is the word that I'm
effort, collective effort.
Yes. Yeah. Collective effort, praise among everyone, the coaching staff, the players,
not the president,
not the president, yeah. But
don't let him ride high on this result and let everyone forget what actually was happening.
So I think it's a giant collective effort, and everyone deserves praise, but you have to start with Sergio, and then it's also a players game. The players went out and got the job done. They did what Sergio wanted, and it's incredible. It was a great, great win. So the praise goes from all across the board, the players, the coach, the staff, everyone. And then maybe a little bit to Pinto Fogosha, but not too much. But Portista Brazil at Portista Brazil. What was the perception of the game before the final result? How do you see the positive impact of a victory in the Classic for the rest of the season? So the perception before the final result, I don't know, but pure dominance. I think Benfica were defeated. I think they didn't have any answers. They didn't have any solutions to any problems. I think we just outclassed them top to bottom, the players, the coach, everything for that final result. And going into that game, it was do or die for us. It was a bigger game for us than it was for Benfica, that's for sure. Because I think Benfica losing and going down 4 points to Sporting, there's still a better chance of them getting to first place than we would if we were, 12 points behind Benfica to get to second. There was a lot on the line in this game. So, and this victory, positive impact for the rest of the season. Yeah, it's got to be motivating. And we saw it today against Portimonense. And we played rather well, too. It wasn't just a scrappy game. We were doing what we wanted to do and what we expect from the players. So definitely, definitely impactful. And hopefully it just continues. Hopefully this sparks some sort of momentum and energy among the players to keep going as far as they can, win as many games possible. What say you, Jason?
I don't know. I think you covered everything that I feel at this very second. I have nothing to add at this second.
Yeah, I mean, coming out of this game, what do you positive impact for the rest of the season? Yeah?
I think we have to treat each and every game. It's absolutely positive, but we need to treat each and every match as it's a final. Like, this is the mentality that Sergio likes to take, but we need to bring that. Like, this sets the tone, and now we take each and every match as a final, and we need to fight. Like, we have to fight for that second place spot. We need that money. It's crucial to a club like us, any team in the Portuguese league. It's club changing money.
Yeah, 100%. Joe Cappuccino at Joe_Cappuccino_ after wiping Benfica 5-0. How confident do you feel going into the return leg versus Arsenal? How do you feel about that?
I think like I said, it's given us the most confidence that and like the perfect form we can be in going into this game. A loss would have been devastating. It would have almost wiped that Arsenal win away. Just like a loss today would have wiped that Benfica win away. I think we're just building off momentum, and the confidence is building in the meantime.
Yeah.
I think it's perfect timing. Like I said, we tend to hit this stride in January. Like we've seen it in the seasons past, and this year we're just like, dude, when is this moment going to come? I'm hoping this is the moment.
Yeah, definitely. I'm feeling pretty confident. I'm saying 1-1, as I said earlier, and I think we're going to go through. I think the way we're coming out, how we've been playing the last few games, it's definitely there's signs of change in a positive way, and hopefully it continues. And I think we can get the job done. Champions League is a different competition. Arsenal's doing great in the league, in the EPL, it's different. You're going up against an unknown opposition that you're not familiar with. You don't understand Portuguese football. You don't really see Porto play week in and week out. So it's a different animal that you're dealing with. And the way Porto plays in the Champions League, it's frustrating as hell for the bigger sides, for sure. So hopefully the frustration continues on Arsenal's side and we catch a dub, or we just somehow, even if it's a draw, we just somehow get out of London and going into the next round. That would be massive. Matt's at Matt's Attack 9. What was your favorite goal from the Benfica win for Jason? How does this U Clásico compare to the 5-0 win that you said was your favorite? Great memory. What is our record like at Portimonense? So, favorite goal, and how does this 5-0 win compare to your favorite Clásico, which was the previous 5-0?
Still doesn't compare.
Really?
No. I mean, watching guys like Hulk and Falcao,
yeah,
that's just a different class. I'm sorry. Like, yeah, we're not in first place. This team hasn't proved that they can win the league. Like, we're still, like, unpolished, and, like, we're looking polished at the moment. This is a very short stint. If they did this all season and we were at top of the table, then this maybe would have compared, right? But, yep, like, we're 4 points behind Sporting, and Sporting has two games to play. So, like, it's just... I'm not excited, but I'm just very happy that at least it's better late than never. That's how I look at it.
Yeah. Now, Jason, which Galeno goal was your favorite? The first or the second one?
Had to be the first. Like, just scoring that first one and opening, getting that stadium wild. Like, dude, you're at the Dragão.
And then the second one had such a sick celebration when he ran behind the goal. That was sick too.
Ugh. I mean, just the first, he just opened that game up. Like, you get that first goal, it's floodgates were opening, my friends. See you later.
Yeah.
You ain't stopping the flood.
Oh, yeah, for me, my favorite goal was the Wendell goal. I mean, they were all brilliant, but the Wendell goal was great because it went in between two Benfica players' legs, one of them being Otamendi, and that's what he gets, and it just rolled right into the back of the net. Trubin had no idea where the ball was coming, where it was coming from, and it went right back into the back of the net. 3-0. You could pretty much say at that point the game was pretty much over, and Benfica was pretty freaking rattled at that point. And just moments later, Otamendi gets a red card, and it's about damn time that he does, because he never gets sent off for whatever reason. So it was great that he's going to miss the next game for Benfica against Estoril this weekend. All right. Last question. Cameron at Cameron_Walker6. Is Chico Conceição ready for a Portugal call-up?
It's that team's tough, man. If he gets the call-up, it's for the bench. That's about it.
I say yes.
I say you can give him the call-up, but it's a bench spot for now. He's got guys ahead of him. But yeah, I mean, you got to get him. I think he needs to get that exposure. I think he's earned it. But like I said, it's just a roster spot for the moment being.
I say yes, because I'm not saying he deserves to be on the Euro squad just yet. I think a lot of how he goes for the rest of the season, and if he gets a call up for the national team and how he plays with the national team, how he trains with all the players, I think at training, Roberto Martinez will have a good idea if this guy can be worth having on the squad. So I think there's going to be a little bit of time before we can actually make that decision. But I think he's definitely worth, you know, a call up for a friendly before the Euros and before the squads are announced for the Euro.
Yeah, that's fair.
So why not? Yeah, give him a shot. It's good. And one of the things I love about Roberto Martinez, he's not just at like Porto and Benfica games and Sporting games. He's going to like Braga and Guimarães and Rio Ave and all these other, and Boa Vista. He went to a Boa Vista game earlier this season, checking out all these young players because he knows that Portugal's flooded with talent. So I wouldn't be surprised if he gives him a shot just to try him out and have him train with the squad and see what all the other players and the staff say about him.
Yeah.
So let's be hopeful. Most important, I just want what's best for the national team, because I would love to see them win another Euro, have Ronaldo win his second Euro, you know, and that would probably be it for him. So most important, Portugal winning. But I don't know, Jason. I think that's it for this episode. Any last words before we wrap things up?
Shout out to my sister who landed in Portugal today and went to Casa Pia versus Estrela da Madura.
Nice. So
And she got to see four goals in a nice rainy night in Portugal next to Lisbon.
Oh, man.
Estrela was home.
Oh, man. March in Portugal. Definitely lots and lots of rain. Still better than Rhode Island. That's for sure.
Absolutely.
Still better than Rhode Island. All right. Thank you all for tuning into another episode of the Porto Podcast in English. Follow us on Twitter at FC Porto Pod ENG. Follow us on Instagram at Porto Pod ENG. Facebook, the Porto Podcast in English. And if you like the show, subscribe, hit the 5 stars, leave a review if you could. We'd really appreciate it. It helps us grow. And we will see you all on the next episode.